Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon and happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, we're talking about vaccines. Joe Rogan, the most listened to podcaster in 2020, shockingly silenced after making anti-vaccine comments. A couple of days ago, one of the most influential and most listened to podcasters in the entire world, Joe Rogan, made a statement about vaccines for young, healthy people that I think most thinking people would agree with. Rogan said, "If you're like 21 years old and you say to me, should I get vaccinated? I'll go, no. If you're a healthy person and you're exercising all the time and you're young and you're eating well, like, I don't think you need to worry about this." That's what Rogan said, and we're going to play that comment in just a little bit. At the very least, Joe Rogan is entitled to his opinion, is he not? Apparently not. Anthony Fauci stepped in, and when the smoke cleared, not only had Rogan retracted his entire opinion-based statement, he then proceeded to verbally flagellate himself, begging forgiveness at the altar of the New World Order. Joe Rogan is a pretty tough guy for sure, but he broke before the vaccine masters. What will you do when they come for you? Joe Rogan crumbled. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:25, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we are looking at the incredible push to fulfill Bill Gates' demonic dream of vaccinating the entire world. And we will continue to expose the New World Order with some amazing updates for you today. And unlike Joe Rogan, we will not retract anything that we say today, no matter who doesn't like it. The fear of man absolutely brings a snare, but we who have been eternally set free by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, we can speak fearlessly and boldly, and so we shall. If you're listening, Anthony Fauci, listen good, because you've been in bed with George Soros and the Rockefellers and the Bill Gates for the past 20 years, and today we will expose your evil deeds for the whole world to see. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered. And we pray, Lord, for my landlord at the bookstore. Her name is Beth, and she recently diagnosed with cancer, and she's at the doctor's today. We lift Beth up before you and ask you to bless her and heal her, Lord. I don't think she's saved, but she gave me an opportunity to pray over her, and if she's not saved, we pray for her salvation, and we also pray for a physical healing. Give the doctors and the nurses much wisdom with Beth. And Lord, we thank you for all these that you've gathered today for the podcast, and we're going to talk about, again, very controversial topics. But we're not afraid, Lord, because the Bible, your word, Lord, says that the fear of man bringeth a snare, and we are not afraid of man, and we are not afraid of what men can do to us. That's why we open and close everything we do, Father, in prayer to you, and ask for your blessing and your protection and your provision. And today, let us get to the truth of the matter today, the heart of the matter, and we commit this time to you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. We're very, very glad that you're here. And please remember, there will be no broadcasts on Sunday because my oldest daughter, Kelsey, is getting married to Cameron. And we're very, very excited about that. And so that's going to take up my entire weekend. And I will not have time to do any broadcasting on Sunday. I will greatly miss everybody and would very much appreciate if you can keep me in prayer and Kelsey and Cameron and our whole families together. If you could keep everything in prayer, there's a lot of moving parts to this wedding. And I covet your prayers, so thank you very, very much. And then, Lord willing, after today's broadcast, the next time we'll be on the air will be Monday, noon Eastern time for the Monday afternoon podcast. But again, no broadcasting this Sunday. The wedding is an all-day and all-night affair. And thank you. Joe Rogan has walked back his comment stating that young people do not need to get the coronavirus following pushback from experts such as Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease. Joe Rogan, and I can't repeat his comment, but not only did Joe Rogan retract his comment, if you've ever watched, now look, don't send me any emails. Don't give me any nasty comments, please. I understand that Joe Rogan on his podcast, he mentions some unsavory things, and I know that he uses bad language. I understand that. We live in a fallen world with fallen people, but I like to listen to a lot of different people. I like to be informed of what other people actually think and not what people say that they think and not what people say that they said. So yes, I am not recommending the Joe Rogan podcast. I understand he uses bad language on that podcast, but Joe Rogan's podcast last year in 2020, according to the Edison Report Institute, was the most listened to podcast last year anywhere in the entire world. So when somebody has a podcast that is listened to by the entire world, it is the most listened to podcast on planet Earth. We might want to check in from time to time to see what those people are saying. I think this is not a cult, right? We have an open mind about things. We like to listen to what other people say, even if we don't agree with them or hold their position. We need to keep an open mind, and so we do, and I absolutely do. So, the Joe Rogan podcast, the number one most listened to podcast in 2020. I think he's in the top three this year. So when Joe Rogan goes on and he makes comments and statements that get as far as the White House, that get as far as Anthony Fauci and the CDC at a time of national and global pandemic, I think we would want to listen to what those comments are. If for no other reason to educate ourselves. I've always told you guys, we need to know what we know and to believe what we believe. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Absolutely, we are called to do that. But the Apostle Paul... Remember him? The Apostle Paul, he had no problem quoting from pagan philosophers. And the Apostle Paul in his writings would mention what pagan philosopher, and I got too many things going through my head right now. I can't, a prophet, one of your own. Let's see if I can pull that up. The Apostle Paul, where is it? No. I can't find the quote right now, but if somebody in the chat room can pull it up, the verse where Paul talks about a prophet, a pagan prophet, Paul quotes him right there in Scripture. And so we should not be afraid of looking at what anybody has to say if there is some overwhelming interest in why we should listen to that. So when somebody like Joe Rogan has the most listened to podcast of 2020 and he talks about the vaccine and the whole world takes notice, I think we should listen to what he had to say. So here is the comment that caused all the trouble, that got as far as Anthony Fauci, here is the comment that Joe Rogan made about the vaccine. And it is right here. It is Joe Rogan encouraging young, healthy people to not get vaccinated. Take a listen.
I think you should get vaccinated if you're vulnerable. I think you should get vaccinated if you feel like my parents are vaccinated. I've encouraged a lot of people to get, and people say, do you think it's safe to get vaccinated? I've said, yeah, I think for the most part, it's safe to get vaccinated. I do. But if you're like 21 years old and you say to me, should I get vaccinated? I go, no.
Yeah.
Are you healthy? Are you a healthy person? Like, look, don't do anything stupid, but you should take care of yourself. You should, if you're a healthy person and you're exercising all the time and you're young and you're eating well, and like, I don't think you need to worry about this.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you.
But there's a lot of jobs that will tell you you need to have this.
Well, that's what's starting to happen now.
People are worried about them doing it for their children. And we talked about this earlier. Yeah. There's that you might have to have your children vaccinated. And, you know, I can tell you as someone who's both my children got the virus, it was nothing. I mean, I hate to say that. If someone's children died from this, I'm very sorry that happened. I'm not in any way diminishing that, but I'm saying the personal experience that my children had with COVID was nothing. One of the kids had a headache. The other one didn't feel good for a couple of days.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not feel good, like no big deal. No coughing,
right.
no achy, no like in agony. There was none of that. It was very mild. It was akin to them getting a cold.
Yeah, and you can have this thing where it's like you were saying, this virtue signaling and this kind of like theatrical display of I get the vaccine, what a good person I am, I care about everyone. But you're like, look, my daughter's a lot younger than your kids, but I'm like, yeah, I'm not injecting my daughter with something virtue signal.
Right.
Like, I'm not doing that.
Right.
If there's something that she's of no risk, statistically has no risk from,
right.
I'm sorry, I'm not taking any experiment on her in that. And that's my attitude toward
it. But it's amazing that that's controversial.
Yeah.
That even saying that I'm not going to inject my child with the vaccine is controversial.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Because, again, we are not talking about even the flu that we just found out killed 22,000 people last year. We're not talking about that.
Right.
We're talking about something that is not statistically dangerous for children. But yet people still want you to get your child vaccinated, which is crazy to me.
Yeah.
Like, you should be vaccinated if you are vulnerable. You should.
So there you have Joe Rogan, and that is the entire comment that he made in context. And as you can hear from Joe Rogan's own testimony, Joe Rogan is not completely anti-vaccine. I am anti-vaccine. My oldest daughter, who's getting married, is 25 years old, and she has not been vaccinated. Her brother has not been vaccinated, and her sister has not been vaccinated. So, my anti-vaccine position is not something that's new. I have been anti-vaccine for the last 25 years, and I feel so strongly about that position that I did not vaccinate my own children. And this is years ago, 1995, 1999, and 2001 is when they were born. And I did my research way back in the very beginning, and I prayed about it, and God showed me that my children did not need to receive vaccines or vaccinations, and I have been anti-vaccine for a very, very long time. Now, you heard Joe Rogan when he was talking. He said he starts right off by saying he is not anti-vaccine in all cases. I don't think he's taken the vaccine. Maybe he has. I don't think he has. But he said that his parents have taken the vaccine, but he said he would not vaccinate his children. So Joe Rogan talks about things that are important to him, things that he's curious about, things that he's interested in. Joe Rogan is not I wouldn't say he's a conservative. I think he's a libertarian. But he's definitely not a liberal, absolutely not. But the point is that Joe Rogan, he has really, really influential people on his podcast, and he talks about things that are highly controversial. And that's one reason why so many people listen to him and why his podcast was the number one podcast last year in 2020 anywhere in the entire world. So I said all that to say this. Why would he suddenly, after he gets a little bit of pushback from Anthony Fauci, why would he go running and screaming in the other direction, even going? Now, again, I can't play his comment because he uses language and I don't want to have to edit the whole thing out. But when this is what Anthony Fauci said the day after Joe Rogan made those comments that I just played for you. Here's Anthony Fauci responding almost immediately to the Joe Rogan podcast.
Real quickly, I want to ask you, popular podcast host Joe Rogan, you may have heard about this, made comments about young people getting vaccinated. It's getting a lot of buzz. He said, if you're like 21 years old and you say to me, should I get vaccinated? I say no. If you're a healthy person and you're exercising all the time and you're young and you're eating well, I don't think you need to worry about this. Saying young, healthy people shouldn't get vaccinated. Just quickly, your response?
Well, that's incorrect, Savannah. And the reason why is that you're talking about yourself in a vacuum then. You're worried about yourself getting infected and likelihood that you're not going to get any symptoms. But you can get infected and will get infected if you put yourself at risk. And even if you don't have any symptoms, you're propagating the outbreak because it is likely that you, even if you have no symptoms, that you may inadvertently and innocently then infect someone else who might infect someone who really could have a problem with a severe outcome. Yeah. So if you want to only worry about yourself and not society, then that's okay. But if you're saying to yourself, even if I get infected, I could do damage to somebody else, even if I have no symptoms at all. And that's the reason why you've got to be careful and get vaccinated.
Yeah, so you say young, healthy people should get vaccinated.
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Dr. Fauci, as always, appreciate you getting up early with us. Thank you.
Good to be with you, Savannah. Thank you for having me.
Take care.
So that is what was recorded the day after that Joe Rogan made his comments. And Anthony Fauci and the entire weight of the CDC came down to bear on Joe Rogan, again, a person who is famous for making comments that are controversial. And Joe Rogan then, and again, I can't play the comment for you, but not only did he walk back his comments, he said this. He said, I am not a doctor. I am not a blank moron. I am not a respected source of information, even for me. All right. And I want you to really let that sink into your brain. It's not that Joe Rogan walked back the comments. He was groveling when he walked them back, and he began to self-flagellate himself. You may not be familiar with that word, but the word flagellate means to, and let me just pull it up, the word flagellate means to really come down on yourself very, very, very hard. It is not a sexual term and has nothing to do with that. But self-flagellation has to do with whipping, flogging, beating, scourging, lashing, switching. It has to do with punishing yourself for something that you said or something that you did. In the Roman Catholic Church, when I was attending Catholic school, when we went through Lent, we used to have these things called scapulars. And for those of you who were raised in the Roman Catholic Church, you understand what I'm talking about. A scapular, it kind of looked like half of a Velcro thing, and it was scratchy. And it was about the size of two postage stamps, and it was attached by a string, and you wore it around your neck, and a scratchy side was on your chest, and a scratchy side was on your back. I think they called it a scapular. And the reason why they had us wear these things is because we were supposed to feel that thing scratching our skin all day long. And it would remind us of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. And that is self-flagellation. When you do something to yourself to discipline yourself, to punish yourself. That's what self-flagellation is. And that's exactly what Joe Rogan did to himself. Not physically, but he did that to himself verbally. And he even began to insult himself. He said, "I am not a respected source of information, even for me." So that is not just walking the comment back. That is not just simply bowing to the pressure. Joe Rogan, and I can only speculate, but Joe Rogan must have been told something fairly intense for him to not only retract his statement, but to do it in a way where he is punishing himself for that. And that to me is absolutely, it is shocking. And one thing that you have to realize about these people are not playing around. These people, this is no joke. And the goal is to vaccinate every single person on the face of the earth, and they do not care what the reason is. They just simply want to get these vaccines inside you. This is what Bill Gates said years ago, and I'm going to play this clip, talking about CO2, climate change, and population control. What was Bill Gates' answer back in 2000, and I think it was 2013. It might be older than that. Here is Bill Gates talking about population control through vaccination.
CO2 is warming the planet. And the equation on CO2 is actually a very straightforward one. If you sum up the CO2 that gets emitted, that leads to a temperature increase. And that temperature increase leads to some very negative effects. The effects on the weather, perhaps worse, the indirect effects in that the natural ecosystems can't adjust to these rapid changes, and so you get ecosystem collapses. Now, the exact amount of how you map from a certain increase in of CO2 to what temperature will be and where the positive feedbacks are, there's some uncertainty there, but not very much. And there's certainly uncertainty about how bad those effects will be, but they will be extremely bad. I asked the top scientists on this several times, do we really have to get down to near zero? Can't we just, you know, cut it in half or a quarter? And the answer is that until we get near to zero, the temperature will continue to rise. And so that's a big challenge. It's very different than saying, you know, we're a 12-foot high truck trying to get under a 10-foot bridge and we can just sort of squeeze under. This is something that has to get to zero. Now, we put out a lot of carbon dioxide every year, over 26 billion tons. For each American, it's about 20 tons. For people in poor countries, it's less than one ton. It's an average of about 5 tons for everyone on the planet. And somehow we have to make changes that will bring that down to zero. It's been constantly going up. It's only various economic changes that have even flattened it at all. So we have to go from rapidly rising to falling and falling all the way to zero. This equation has four factors, a little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero.
All right, so pay attention. Bill Gates is going to tell you about the four-step approach to bringing down CO2 levels on Earth. He has four steps that he wants you to pay attention to. Listen to his four steps.
And that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy. So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. Now, that's back from high school algebra. But let's take a look. First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
So there you just heard Bill Gates say that if they do a really good job with new vaccines, they can lower the population by 10 to 15%.
There we see an increase of about 1.3.
So Bill Gates wants to use
new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services. We could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
So there you have Bill Gates saying, and he did that during a TED talk, Bill Gates saying that we can lower the population by 10 to 15% through reproductive services, that's abortion, and vaccination. And this is what the goal has always been. The goal has always been is to inject everybody with a... Now, why do people need vaccines? Okay. Vaccines were started because it gives people immunization against certain types of viruses and diseases. And in some cases, they have been helpful. They can prevent tetanus. They can prevent polio. But those vaccines, if you're over the age of 40, those vaccines that we all got when we were kids are not the same type of vaccines that they have today. Now, I'm not advocating for vaccines. I am just simply saying that over the last half of a century, vaccines have changed to a very, very high degree. The number of vaccines that you would have had to receive as a child in the 1960s was about five vaccines in the 1960s and 1970s. But when you get all the way up to 2021, they are, let's see, I'm at the CDC, and here is the schedule, okay, of birth to 15 months. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 different vaccines that are given to newborn babies up to the age of 15 months. And then when that child gets to be 18 months old, there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 more vaccines that they want to give to your children after the age of 18 months. So it's just under 40 different vaccines, according to the CDC website that I just read to you from. Now, that is not how vaccines were administered when you and I were children. They were administered in a much more of a common sense and logical fashion. Now, let me tell you something. I received all my rounds of vaccines as a child, and I developed a disease called Perthes disease. They don't know where it comes from. They don't know what causes it. And I spent 2.5 years in a wheelchair, not walking a single step, because my hip bones had a condition known as Perthes disease that I developed not long after receiving my vaccination shots. Now, I am not saying that Perthes disease, which they still don't know what causes it, I am not saying that that came from my vaccinations, but it's awfully coincidental that after my vaccinations, I started to limp. And then after I started limping, I was put into a wheelchair for 2.5 years, and I didn't walk a single step because I had this condition known as Perthes disease. So even back in the 1960s and 70s, there was still a lot of risk associated with getting vaccinated. But we only had to deal with 5 or 6 vaccines. Children today have to deal with just under 40 different vaccines. And it's like taking prescription drugs. You have the side effect that you get from the drug that you take. And then if you take other drugs, you get the co-side effects of one drug interacting with another while that new drug is also interacting with your system. And I have known people who are on as many as 7, 8, 9, 10 different medications, and the number of side effects that are potential at that point are absolutely off the charts. And so vaccines have changed dramatically over the last half of a century. And of course, the vaccine that's being put out today is something called an mRNA vaccine, a messenger RNA vaccine. And it is completely not like the type of killed virus vaccines that we took when we were children. And again, when I became a father and I had the opportunity to research that for my children, my research back in 1995 showed me to not vaccinate my children. That's always been a controversial side to take, and it's 10 times more controversial today. But I believe that I made the right decision for my very healthy children. And yes, they have had chickenpox, they have had measles, they didn't die from it. In fact, when my one daughter had chickenpox, we had a chickenpox party. That's what my parents did for me and my brothers. And that's what the whole world used to do when we used science instead of politics to decide what we should do medically and biologically for ourselves. So I played for you the clip of the inflammatory comments made by Joe Rogan, which I don't find inflammatory at all. It was his opinion, but that opinion carries a lot of weight because it's the most listened to podcast on earth. And the White House responded very, very fast and very, very quickly. And Anthony Fauci immediately went to call out Joe Rogan for what he said. Now, some of you know this, some of you may not know this, but Anthony Fauci, he goes back, he's been with the New World Order for quite some time. 2 months to the day after the attack on the World Trade Center in New York City, December 11th, 2001, we see a strange, curious sight unfolding that puts all the main players of the New World Order and the Great Reset in the same room at the same time. With America still deeply in mourning over the deaths of 3,000 people in the Twin Towers, and confusion reigning across the land, why are people like Anthony Fauci, George Soros, Bill Gates Sr., and David Rockefeller grinning and happy at an awards ceremony? I want you to think about who was in that room long and hard. You have George Soros, the main architect behind the New World Order, along with David Rockefeller, who has already admitted to being part of a global cabal. You have Bill Gates Sr. He was a famous eugenicist. And a lot of people don't know this. Bill Gates Sr. for years was the head of the baby killing corporation known as Planned Parenthood. Bill Gates' son, Bill Gates III, in 2020, I did this article last year, is working hard to vaccinate every human being on Earth and implant them with a digital identification. That company is known as ID 2020. And do you think, let me ask you a question, do you still think that all the crazy events of 2020 were not already planned decades earlier? Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever stopped to think that maybe all this crazy stuff that started happening last year, maybe all that crazy stuff has been in the works for a long, long time? Would it surprise you to learn that one of the people that was photographed with Anthony Fauci back on December 11, 2001, his name is David Rockefeller. David Rockefeller said this about the mainstream media agreeing to keep silent about the Bilderberger New World Order meetings. This is what David Rockefeller said in the 1980s. He said, "We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. Rockefeller says it would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years. But the world is more sophisticated and prepared to march toward a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national autodetermination practiced in past centuries." David Rockefeller said that, and he was talking about the silence, the conspiratorial silence of the mainstream media, who agreed to say nothing about the top secret Bilderberger meetings for almost 40 years. And then it reached a point where they had accomplished so much that they didn't feel the need to be silent anymore. And they feel so strongly about their position that David Rockefeller, he bragged about the work that he did. He wrote a memoir of his life, and this is what David Rockefeller said in his memoirs about the New World Order. David Rockefeller said, "For more than a century, ideological extremists at either end of the political spectrum have seized upon well-publicized events, such as my encounter with Castro, to attack the Rockefeller family for the inordinate influence they claim that we wield over American political and economic institutions." Now listen to him. Rockefeller goes on to say, "Some even believe that we are part of a secret cabal working against the best interests of the United States. People characterizing my family and me as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will." David Rockefeller says, "If that is the charge, I stand guilty and I am proud of it." David Rockefeller wrote that in his memoirs about his life before he died. He bragged about being part of the New World Order. He bragged about being part of a secret cabal. The same secret cabal that Anthony Fauci was inducted to over 20 years ago. And I want you to think about that. I can't overstate that. I want you to let that thought sink into your head. Anthony Fauci has been part of the same behind-the-scenes cabal that David Rockefeller bragged about in his memoirs of creating a new world order, of creating a one-world system, thanking the mainstream media for their conspiratorial silence. Anthony Fauci is right there hand in hand with Bill Gates Sr., George Soros, and David Rockefeller. Now, do you see why? Do you see why when Joe Rogan made his comments about vaccines and said young people shouldn't, if they're healthy, shouldn't take a vaccine? And this same Anthony Fauci, the same Anthony Fauci who was inducted into this secret cabal that David Rockefeller bragged about in his memoirs, in under 24 hours, Anthony Fauci came gunning for Joe Rogan. And Joe Rogan folded like a house of cards. Now, I invited Joe Rogan to listen to this podcast. Maybe he is, maybe he's not, but I invited him. And Joe Rogan, if you're listening to me, I very much appreciate the work that you do on your podcast. I don't appreciate the foul language. Not at all. I don't appreciate some of the other things about alcohol and pot that leads to addiction for people. But you have a program that talks about a lot of topics that are taboo, that people are afraid to talk about. And I've been listening to your podcast for a long time. I'm not against you, Joe Rogan. And you are absolutely not a snowflake. You're a very tough guy, 6-degree black belt in Taekwondo. You're a commentator for the UFC. I'm not here to put you down, not at all. I'm not here to make fun of you. I'm not here to insult you. But Joe, you folded. And you folded like somebody who was afraid. And you don't seem to me to be a fearful person. And if you are listening, Joe, I pray that you get saved. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I pray that you do get saved. And my people are praying for you to get saved. But you folded, Joe. And you folded because you were afraid. And this is why I'm doing this program. Because these people, Anthony Fauci, the CDC, and all these people, they are part of the New World Order. Listen, I want to play this clip. This is how far this stuff goes back. We're talking about Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates Sr., George Soros, and David Rockefeller. Listen to this clip. Talk about predictive programming. Listen to this clip from a TV show that was popular back in the 1980s called Barney Miller. Listen to this clip about the Trilateral Commission exposed. Take a listen to this clip and listen to the main person that was woven in to the script of this comedy program from 1981, Barney Miller. Take a listen. It will blow your mind.
But they're the ones you should be arresting, not me.
Why didn't you say that before? What do we got here? Cam, this is William Klein. He was wrecking an office.
But I just wanted to meet them face to face. I wanted them to admit what they were doing.
Who is they?
He was in the office of the Trilateral Commission.
Trilateral Commission.
Yeah, the Trilateral Commission.
All right, what is the Trilateral Commission?
It's an organization founded in 1973 by David Rockefeller to bring together business and political leaders from the United States, Europe, Japan, so they could work together for better economic and political cooperation between their nations.
Yeah, but that's what they'd like us to believe. But you see, what they're really up to is a scheme to plant their own loyal members in positions of power in this country, to work to erase national boundaries and create an international community, and in time, bring about a one-world government with David Rockefeller calling the shots.
I take it they're pressing charges?
Yeah, well, he broke a globe and some UNICEF artwork.
Well, they're in on it, too.
Okay, Mr. Klein, if you just...
I'm telling you, our whole way of life as we know it is in jeopardy.
I appreciate that information.
But I have the documented evidence. It's all in there. Show him.
Well, he's got these magazines here. Conspiracy Review. Suppressed Truth Roundup.
The whole master plan is exposed.
Yeah, well,
you're still not convinced, huh? Would you like to hear the names of just a few of the people who have been on the Trilateral Commission?
Not particularly.
James Earl Carter. Heard of him?
Look, Mr. Klein...
Henry Kissinger. You heard of him? Walter Mondale.
Who?
Mr. Klein, this is
John Anderson, George Bush. Now, you remember at the convention, everybody thought it was going to be Ford for Veep. You know what happened? David Rockefeller just picked up a phone, put in a call. Hey, Ronnie, forget Jerry, it's George. Bye. So, no matter who won in November, they had their man in the White House.
Are you through?
And there you have that clip from the Barney Miller comedy show back in 1981. That is 40 years ago. Now, do you think that the events of 2020 happened in 2020? You are very deceived if you do. They have been planning these things for a long, long time. Now, we told you last year on April 9th, over a year ago, we told you that back in 2010, Anthony Fauci was handpicked by Bill Gates, not the father, but the son. Anthony Fauci back in 2010 was handpicked by Bill Gates to sit on something called the Global Vaccine Action Plan Board. And Anthony Fauci was tasked with helping Bill Gates to roll out vaccines for the entire world. Now, this plan has been going on for about 55 to 60 years, maybe even longer, shortly after World War II. I don't know when the first Bilderberger meeting, let me see if I can find that. The first Bilderberg meeting, maybe it was the 1950s. Yeah, May 29th of 1954 was the very first Bilderberg meeting. So for the last 67 years, the Bilderbergs have been meeting. The same people that David Rockefeller thanked the mainstream media for not reporting on. Now, haven't we always thought that the mainstream media's job was to report the truth, right? Now, we know that we live right now in a day and age of what we call fake news. And President Trump came up with that talking about CNN, and he was referring to the absolutely false Russian collusion scam that the entire mainstream media conspired together to promote for over 4 years. And the Russian collusion scam, they still haven't let it go yet. There is no proof to it. There is no evidence that anything that they accused Trump of, and even after they spent $28 million and Robert Mueller spent 2.5 years investigating and harassing and badgering people and having people arrested at the dark of night and breaking down people's doors and dragging them off to prison and keeping them behind bars in secret locations for 2.5 years, they still did not prove that Donald Trump was involved with Russian collusion. So Donald Trump very appropriately called that fake news. And so we understand that we live in a day and age where the mainstream media is not to be trusted on any level at any time. But didn't we used to think, like in our fondest childhood memories, didn't we used to think when we would listen to people like Walter Cronkite and Walter Winchell and people from years ago, decades ago, and our parents used to talk, Walter Cronkite, they said, was the most trusted man in America. And when Walter Cronkite did a broadcast, what he was telling you was the truth. And maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. But the vast majority of people in the 1950s, 60s, 70s, and 80s believed that most of what the mainstream media reported was the truth. But David Rockefeller in the 1980s thanked the mainstream media for not telling the truth, for keeping quiet about the plans of the New World Order, the very same stuff that I played for you in that Barney Miller clip from 1981, that David Rockefeller admitted that he was behind, him and his family and his friends. Who are David Rockefeller's friends? Bill Gates, Senior and Junior, George Soros, Anthony Fauci, Henry Kissinger, George Bush Sr., George Bush Jr., and you just go right, Dick Cheney, you just go right on down the list. Bill Clinton, all those people are all friends of David Rockefeller and Bill Gates and George Soros. There is absolutely a conspiracy, and David Rockefeller, in his memoirs, he said, absolutely, if you're accusing me of a conspiracy, that's 100% true. And not only that, he said, I am proud of that. So, I want to play this next clip. This is the man, Josh Rogan, not related to Joe Rogan. But Josh Rogan said this about the influence of Anthony Fauci in 2021. Take a listen to this.
The Joe Rogan Experience.
So they hired the best friends of the lab to investigate the lab.
Right.
It's like hiring Robert Kardashian to investigate OJ. You know what right. I mean? It's like, right. and when they interview these guys on TV, they always say the same thing. Don't you want the best friends of the lab to interview the lab? Isn't that, we know the most about it. We're doing the research. It would be like Robert Kardashian being like, I know OJ really well. You know, let me do the investigation. I'll figure out the truth. I'll get to the bottom of this.
Right.
So anyway, so they go to the lab for 3 hours, talk to their best friends, look them straight in the eye. Did you do it? No, we didn't do it. Okay, case closed. And then they concluded in their WHO report that the lab theory is very unlikely and we don't need to look into the lab, case closed. And everybody was like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. We can't.
So just in case you're not sure about the context of this clip, this man named Josh Rogan is on the Joe Rogan show talking about how the World Health Organization investigated or claimed to or tried to. Josh Rogan is talking about how the WHO investigated where the outbreak of COVID-19 could possibly have come from. So that's the context of this clip. Talking about the investigation of the World Health Organization of the Wuhan lab in China to see if they could figure out where the COVID outbreak came from.
Have that. These guys have a conflict of interest. Their careers are tied to this lab. If the lab were found to be guilty again, we don't know. I don't know. You don't know. Peter Daszak doesn't know. Well, maybe he knows, but I don't think he knows. You know, their legacy, this entire project of $200 million, to dig up viruses all over the world would be kaput. It would have to necessarily be stopped, this whole industry. Okay, now here's the part where I'm going to get a little controversial. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay?
Sure.
Okay, so if I've gotten you that far, again, just to say that I don't blame anyone out there for having this notion that, like, this lab accident theory is kind of a kooky thing that, like, was cooked up by Mike Pompeo or something like that. I get why you think that. But now Trump's not – he's not here anymore, right? We don't have to argue about Trump anymore, hopefully, ever, again, right? And we can just look at the piles of circumstantial evidence. And there's plenty of circumstantial evidence that it could have come – there's some circumstantial evidence that it could have come from nature. I feel that the lab theory has more compelling circumstantial evidence because, again – they were doing that kind of research. They also – there was a huge cover-up and the virus database went mysteriously offline somehow in December 2019.
There's also the evolution of the virus itself, right?
That's what Robert – so Robert Redfield, who was the CDC director at the time, a trained virologist, he says, I took a look at this virus and I concluded that it is so powerful that it must have been evolved in a lab setting. And he pointed to the gain-of-function research and they called him a racist, a conspiracy theorist and all the rest.
Yeah.
All right. Now, here's the controversial part. The godfather of that industry, the head of the pyramid, is a guy you may have heard of called Anthony Fauci.
I've heard of that guy.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear more?
Yeah.
Okay.
So here, everything that Josh Rogan is telling Joe Rogan, he's telling him that there is a lot of problems with the testimony of the World Health Organization when they investigated the outbreak of COVID-19 from the lab in Wuhan, China. And this man, Josh, is saying there's a lot of things that don't make sense. There's a lot of things like the database, the virus database, mysteriously went offline back in December of 2019. just weeks before this virus would appear in Wuhan, China. So that there's a lot of problems with it. And now, he says, the person who is holding the smoking gun, the person at the top of this pyramid, is none other than Anthony Fauci.
So, Anthony Fauci, the hero of the pandemic, is the most important person in the world of gain-of-function research there is. In other words, he is, and not just him, there's Francis Collins at the NIH and some other people, but basically, he is the one dispersing all of the grants for this. He is the one who pushed to turn it back on after Obama turned it back off. That's a whole other crazy story. He turned it back on without really consulting the White House. That's breaking news. Never been reported. Just broke some news on your show right now.
Really?
Yes. He consulted the Office of Science and Technology Policy, which is like a part of the White House, but he didn't, you know, the White House put a pause on it, and then he like undid the pause. The details are a little sketchy. I'm not saying that he did anything necessarily wrong or illegal. I'm just saying that a lot of people that I know inside the Trump administration had no idea this had turned back on. He found a way to turn it back on in the mess of the Trump administration, because the Trump administration is full of a bunch of clowns, right? So at the end, you could get stuff done if you just knew how to work the system. Fauci is the head of that system.
Why? What was his incentive?
That's everything. That's his whole career. What he would say, and to be fair, again, to be perfectly fair to him, he's trying to predict the next pandemic. He thinks this is the way that you predict the next pandemic, by digging up all these viruses.
All right, so we'll just stop that clip right there. Josh Rogan on the Joe Rogan Show is talking about how Anthony Fauci is at the top of the food chain, the same Anthony Fauci that's been buddy-buddy with Bill Gates Sr., Bill Gates Jr., George Soros, and David Rockefeller. So Josh Rogan just told you that Anthony Fauci is the guy that holds the smoking gun. Now, I want to play a couple minutes of this next clip. Some of you have heard it. Some of you have not. The CDC patent on the coronavirus. This man, David Martin, on a program called London Real, talking about Anthony Fauci, the CDC, and the patent on the coronavirus. Take a listen to this.
I'm the developer of linguistic genomics, which was the first platform on which you could determine the intent of communication rather than the literal artifact of communication. But we've also used that technology for a number of other applications in defense and intelligence and finance. And most notably, in the early 2000s, my company was responsible for bringing down what was at the time one of the largest tax frauds in U.S. history. We maintained a series of inquiries into every individual, every organization, and every company that is involved in anything that either blurs the line of biological and chemical weapons or crosses that line in any of 168 countries. In 1999, there were 1 million patents digitized by IBM, and those 1 million patents were the first time human innovation had been put into an electronic digital searchable format. We took that information and we did a very simple exercise using our linguistic genomics technology, where I made the horrific assessment that approximately 1/3 of all patents filed in the United States were functional forgeries, meaning that while they had linguistic variations, they actually covered the same subject matter. In 1999, patents on coronavirus started showing up, and thus began the rabbit trail.
March 2003, panic grips Hong Kong as a deadly new virus sweeps through the city.
In 2003, the Center for Disease Control saw the possibility of a gold strike, and that was the coronavirus outbreak that happened in Asia. They saw that a virus they knew could be easily manipulated was something that was very valuable, and in 2003 they sought to patent it, and they made sure that they controlled the proprietary rights to the disease, to the virus, and to its detection, and all of the measurement of it. We know that Anthony Fauci, that Ralph Baric, that the Center for Disease Control, and the laundry list of people who wanted to take credit for inventing coronavirus were at the hub of this story. From 2003 to 2018, they controlled 100% of the cash flow that built the empire around the industrial complex of coronavirus.
The World Health Organization has officially named the novel coronavirus.
The novel coronavirus outbreak.
The coronavirus
crisis. The World Health Organization has declared
an international public health emergency.
While we know that the coronavirus manipulation started with Dr. Ralph Baric in 1999.
The major characteristics of SARS, MERS, and SARS coronavirus 2, it's a good way for you.
Ralph Baric is the researcher at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, who's famous for his chimeric coronavirus research. In 2002, there was a recognition that the coronavirus was seen as an exploitable mechanism for both good and ill. On April the 25th, 2003, the U.S. Center for Disease Control filed a patent on the coronavirus transmitted to humans. Under 35 U.S. Code Section 101, nature is prohibited from being patented. Either SARS coronavirus was manufactured, therefore making a patent on it legal, or it was natural, therefore making a patent on it illegal. If it was manufactured, it was a violation of biological and chemical weapons, treaties, and laws. If it was natural, filing a patent on it was illegal. Then either outcome, both are illegal. In the spring of 2007, the CDC filed a petition with the patent office to keep their application confidential and private. They actually filed patents on not only the virus, but they also filed patents on its detection and a kit to measure it. Because of that CDC patent, they had the ability to control who was authorized and who was not authorized to make independent inquiries into coronavirus. You cannot look at the virus, you cannot measure it, you cannot develop a test kit for it. And by ultimately receiving the patents that constrained anyone from using it, they had the means, they had the motive, and most of all, they had the monetary gain from turning coronavirus from a pathogen to profit.
Developing and owning a coronavirus vaccine has become a biotech arms race with political overtones.
This vaccine gold rush is starting to bother me. Gold rush. Let's keep that in mind.
And so somewhere between 2012 and 2013, something happened. The federal funding for research that was feeding into places like Harvard, Emory, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, that funding suddenly became impaired by something that happened at the NIH, where the NIH got this little tiny moment of clarity and said, I think something we're doing is wrong. And in 2013, the NIH said, gain-of-function research on coronavirus should be suspended. The National Institutes of Health had a moral and social and potentially legal reason to object to research. But the letters that were sent to the researchers essentially said, you are receiving notice that we're telling you to stop. And now on the bottom of the page, we're going to clarify what stop means. Keep going. But when the heat gets hot in 2014 and 15, what do? You offshore the research. You fund the Wuhan Institute of Virology to do the stuff that sounds like it's getting a little edgy with respect to its morality and legality. But do you do it straightway? No. You run the money through a series of cover organizations to make it look like you're funding a U.S. operation, which then subcontracts with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. The U.S. could say, China did it. China could say, the U.S. did it. And the cool thing is, both of them are almost telling the truth.
So there you have David E. Martin talking about the CDC patent on the coronavirus. And once again, who is the person that's holding the smoking gun? It is Anthony Fauci. The same person who has been thick as thieves with Bill Gates Sr., Bill Gates Jr., George Soros, David Rockefeller. And do you see how long these things have been going on for? The CDC filed this patent back in 2003, 2004, 2005. That's 16 years ago that they've been working on these things. Anthony Fauci has been corrupt the entire time. Anthony Fauci has never been a good guy. Back in the 1980s, Anthony Fauci, he said that people who were diagnosed with HIV/AIDS, Anthony Fauci back in the late 1980s, he said it was his protocol advice, and this is why, this is one of my many reasons why you should never listen to Anthony Fauci about anything. This man is not only a horrific liar, Anthony Fauci is an evil man, and he is an incompetent man. He's not just evil. He is, as a doctor, he is incompetent, and his advice can get you killed. And let me tell you why I say that. Back in 1988, Anthony Fauci issued guidance and told doctors all over the world that they should give their HIV/AIDS patients something called AZT. And AZT was a failed chemotherapy from the 1950s that killed every single one of the test subjects in clinical trials. And AZT is a deadly poison. And this deadly poison was not only prescribed to people with HIV/AIDS back in the 1980s, it was prescribed at very high doses. And Anthony Fauci was the person that said that this is what doctors should do. So doctors listened to him. One of those people who was diagnosed with HIV/AIDS was my older brother, Bob. And he was diagnosed with HIV/AIDS back in the summer of 1986. And by December of 1988, just a year and a half later, my brother Bob would be dead. Now, he didn't die from AIDS. He didn't die from HIV. My brother Bob died of a heart attack from AZT. And the toxicity of AZT is extremely high. And when you have something that is as much of a poison as AZT, and you have it in extremely high dosages, that is a very, very bad thing. So Anthony Fauci's guidance was part of what killed my older brother back in 1988, because doctors listened to his guidance. And you should not listen to the guidance of Anthony Fauci, because Anthony Fauci is a categorical liar. And he's been lying for a long, long, long time. Not only that, Anthony Fauci said this back in June of 2020. Anthony Fauci said this, the same Anthony Fauci that now tells you that if you're driving alone in your car, you should be wearing not one but two masks when you are alone in your own house. But this is not what Anthony Fauci said back in the summer of 2020. Take a listen to what Anthony Fauci said on 60 Minutes in June of 2020.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course, of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill.
So that's what Anthony Fauci said on 60 Minutes back in June of 2020. You heard his tone. You heard the context. I played the entire clip. Nothing has been edited. And yet, about 4 months ago, he then said that everybody, including children, should wear a mask. He says now, and I don't have the clip, but you can Google it. He says that people who are vaccinated still need to be wearing a mask. Now, which is it? Was he wrong in 2020 and then he corrected himself? Or was he right in 2020 and he is now, he's lying now? So which is it? He was either lying then or he's lying now. But either way, Anthony Fauci is not a voice to be trusted. And again, I said at the start of this program, we were going to be making statements that we will not retract. And that is one of the, if I could speak to Anthony Fauci face to face, I would tell him that his guidance was responsible for killing my brother. And that when doctors listen to his guidance about AZT, that's why so many people died of HIV/AIDS in the 80s and 90s. Not because of HIV/AIDS, but all those hundreds of thousands of people who died. And remember those pictures? People in hospital beds, and they looked terrible. They were about 50 pounds underweight, and they were emaciated. They really looked like concentration camp victims from the Holocaust. They looked really, really, really bad, and their cheeks were all sunken in. And they were going bald, and they had pneumonia and all these other diseases that you get when your immune system is compromised. And all of these doctors being led by Anthony Fauci told everybody that this is what HIV/AIDS does to your immune system. And he was lying. And eventually they stopped prescribing such high dosages of AZT. And what happened? The death rate from HIV started to drop dramatically. Why? Because people, what were they dying of? The vast majority of cases were not dying from HIV/AIDS. They were dying from AZT, which was being pushed by Anthony Fauci. The same Anthony Fauci that was handpicked by Bill Gates to sit on his Global Vaccine Action Board in 2010. And what is the mandate of Bill Gates? To vaccinate every person on the face of the earth. And COVID-19 is just an excuse. The plan has always been to inject people with whatever this substance is. And I don't want to really get into a long debate on what is the mRNA vaccine, but I will tell you this. I will tell you that the Moderna website says this. The Moderna website says that their mRNA vaccine is software, and it's software that is designed to go into an operating system. What is that operating system? That operating system is your body. So, again, we don't have to talk about conspiracy theory and all that stuff. We don't have to talk about conspiracy theory because it's all true. I'm on the Moderna website right now. And the Moderna website is talking about software for your body. And that they call it the software of life. When we have a concept for a new mRNA vaccine and begin research, fundamental components are already in place. And I don't have time to read the whole page, But the Moderna website talks about their mRNA vaccines as being software for an operating system. Now, I don't doubt that some good things will come from it. I don't doubt at all. I don't doubt, for example, Elon Musk is developing his brain chips, right? And I am sure, I am absolutely positive that the Elon Musk chips from his company called Neuralink, I am absolutely positive that his brain chips are going to help some people. They're going to help some people with a traumatic brain injury. They're going to help soldiers coming off the battlefield. I don't doubt for a single second that these brain chips that Elon Musk is working on won't have some benefit, because they will have some benefit. And that is the whole point. It's going to confuse people. They're going to see these chips being used to help people who are paralyzed. These brain chips will help people walk. They'll help people to recover from traumatic brain injury. And then what's going to happen? Oh, look what else these chips can do. And next thing that you know, chips are going to be mandatory for the human body. And so, believe me when I tell you, I can look at both sides of the equation. I can look at the pros and I can look at the cons. I can look at the benefits and I can look at the the non-benefits. The word's not coming to my head. But I can absolutely look at both sides of the equation. When you microchip your pet, that has helped thousands of people to recover their pets when their pets have gotten loose. And microchipping your pet absolutely has some benefits. But the idea that now everybody, I mean, everybody now in 2021, as soon as you get if you go to the rescue shelter and you rescue a dog or a cat or wherever you get your pet from, everybody, nobody even gives it a second thought. Oh, I've got to take my new pet to the vet to get them chipped. And that was the whole point. That was the whole point. And we learned about this years ago. Years and years and years ago. My friend, Brother Carl from Trumpet Ministries, he has since gone home to be with the Lord. But he talked about the development of the microchip. And that was one of the first prophecy cassette tapes that I ever listened to. And I don't know if I can find the link. Brother Carl talking about the mark of the beast. And he was one of the people that worked on the early microchip back in the 1960s and 1970s. And I had him on this program, I don't know, 8 years ago. 9 years ago, and he really had a lot of interesting things to say about the mark of the beast. Again, his wife has gone home to be with the Lord. He's gone home to be with the Lord, but his name was Brother Carl Sanders, and on Monday's podcast, if I can think of it, I will play a clip of Carl Sanders talking about the mark of the beast that he worked on. Wait a second. I think I have this clip on my YouTube channel. Let me just, I don't have time to play it today, but I'll put the link into the chat room. Where is it? Here it is. Carl Sanders on was an engineer on the first implantable RFID microchip. And I'm going to put the link into the chat room. When you have time to listen to it, go listen to this. It will blow your mind. Dr. Carl Sanders talking, he was a PhD. Dr. Carl Sanders talking about the first implantable RFID microchip. And again, he's gone home to be with the Lord, but what he had to tell people was absolutely mind-blowing. And, well, this is where everything is going. So, Elon Musk, implantable brain chips, vaccines, vaccination passports, ID 2020, all of these different things. This has been planned for a long, long, long time. Sean in the chat room just posted an article, why I'm removing all articles related to vitamin D, C, zinc, and COVID-19. That's interesting. I'll have to check that out. Jan is asking a question. Jan Latcher, will people receiving the mark of the beast know that they are submitting to Satan? They will worship him, but do they know? Yes, they will know. And remember, the mark of the beast cannot appear until the beast appears. And I have always said that the mark of the beast is not the current vaccine. Now, I've written articles about it, but you cannot have the mark of the beast until the beast shows up. However, comma, not period. However, that does not mean that the current vaccines are not leading you to the mark of the beast, because they absolutely 100% are leading you to that. Back in April of 2020, I wrote this article called Warning. I can no longer say that Bill Gates planned global vaccinations and the ID 2020 digital identifications are not the mark of the beast. Now, when you read that article, you will find that I say that while the current vaccines are not the mark of the beast, again, I will repeat that again, the current vaccines are not the mark of the beast. However, comma, not a period. However, the current vaccines, the COVID vaccines, they are mentally grooming you and mentally preparing you for the mark of the beast. They want you to believe that we live in such dangerous times that the only way that we can go back to our lives is by receiving an injection, and not just one, 2, 3 booster shots. We told you about all these things 6 months before they mentioned booster shots. I told you that booster shots were coming, that it was not going to stop with one round or two rounds of vaccines. The vaccines are going to be a chronic and ongoing condition. Now, it is interesting that at the same time that all these hundreds of millions of people, are receiving this new vaccine, that the government says, without it, you can't go back to your life. Without it, you can't go into the marketplace where people buy and sell things. That Amazon, and we've talked about this extensively, Amazon is rolling out a Mark of the Beast style system that lets customers at Whole Foods pay using the palm of their hand. And that's exactly where everything is going. And Lorianne just said in the chat room, she says, I think the vaccine passport will end up being the mark of the beast. And she's very, very correct. It's starting out as a piece of paper. It's going to then become a mobile app. And then after the rapture, it's going to go from a mobile app to a implantable biometric device that goes in either the back of your right hand or inside your forehead. And so it's going to go from paper to an app to an implantable biometric device that's going to be inside your body. And why? Because Revelation 13 verses 16 through 18 tell us exactly what the mark of the beast is. Revelation 13, 16 through 18. And he, Antichrist, causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. And that's exactly where everything is leading to. Everything is leading to that mark of the beast. And that's why you see Amazon, one of the world's largest retailers. They are now rolling out the Amazon One payment system. And we've been exposing that for a long time now. And now it is finally here. And everything is going to come down to one thing. A biometric implantable device inside your body that's going to allow you to buy and to sell. Now do you see why the White House and Anthony Fauci and the CDC so viciously came after Joe Rogan? Now, I know what they said to him on the news, but we have no idea what they said to him privately. We have no idea what he was threatened with. I know that he just received a $100 million contract with Spotify, and he moved his entire podcast from YouTube to Spotify. And I know that he received $100 million. Obviously, they didn't give him the $100 million all at the same time. And Joe Rogan does not want to lose his podcast. Joe Rogan does not want to lose his millions of dollars. And on some level, I don't blame him. But let me tell you something. The Bible says that the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And I am going to continue to not take the COVID vaccine. I've never had a flu shot. People ask me, aren't you afraid to not get the COVID vaccine? My answer is no, I'm not. Somebody said to me, what happens if you get COVID and die? Then I go home to be with the Lord. But I'm not going to inject my body with something that I think is detrimental to my health and well-being. Last year, 52,000 people died of the flu, 2019 into 2020. 52,000 people died from the flu from the last 6 months of 2019 to the first 6 months of 2020. I've never taken a flu shot, and I never will take a flu shot, because I think that what is contained in those shots is harmful to my body. And I will not take a COVID vaccine because I think that what's in those shots is harmful to my body. Yesterday, we told you about the men and women, and I wish I had time to play the clip. I don't, but told you about all the people who are now taking the shot, whether it's the first round or the second round. They're taking the shot, and they wake up the next day, and they are paralyzed from the neck down. And it's starting to happen to a lot of people. And people are absolutely shocked that this is a side effect of either the Pfizer shot, the Moderna shot, the Johnson & Johnson shot. But you shouldn't be surprised, because these shots are very, very dangerous. What do you think Pfizer said when they were contacted and they were told that this woman is paralyzed from the neck down? All they did is they issued a statement, and I'm not going to read it, but you can go to nowtheendbegins.com and you can read it for yourself. Just a whole bunch of blah, blah, blah to protect themselves legally. They haven't even contacted the family of the woman. They haven't even reached out to express even the tiniest bit of concern. And why? Because they are protected from our government, by our government. They can't be sued. If your loved one dies from a Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, AstraZeneca COVID vaccine, if you become permanently paralyzed or you have a stroke or a heart attack, you can't sue the vaccine makers. So do they care? They don't care at all. The only thing that they care about is continuing to have the profits rolling in. And on that note, we're out of time for today. I want to thank you so much for being part of the NTEB Prophecy Podcast, and more than that, for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers. Have a great weekend, everybody, and please keep me and my family and our families in prayer over the weekend as my oldest daughter, Kelsey, gets married. Please pray that everything goes well, everybody stays healthy, everybody stays happy, and that the wedding comes off with the Lord being glorified. And please pray for my landlord. She's the landlord for the bookstore. Please pray for her. She's diagnosed with cancer, and she could absolutely use your prayers. And Lord willing, we'll see you back here Monday afternoon. No broadcast Sunday. We'll see you back here Monday afternoon, Lord willing, noon Eastern Standard Time. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Jesus, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endures forever. I believe that. I believe the word of God is true from the beginning. Genesis 1.
Now I've got thinking to myself, I wonder what if a fella got down hell and he could write back about it. I wonder what he'd say. I wonder what he'd say.
So, did you guys go see Santa tonight?
Yep.
Yeah? What did you ask Santa for?
The Easter Bunny.
Are we there yet?
No, not quite yet. It's going to be a little bit longer.
Wherever you came from, does your preacher preach two messages on hell every year? If he doesn't, he's not following the example of Jesus Christ.
I want you in heaven. I want you in New Jerusalem. Don't want you in the lake of fire.
The God of that Bible is holy. He'll let you go to hell. You want to go? You can go. Don't go. You don't have to go. You don't have to go. Don't go.
The way to know is to trust Christ your Savior, believe on Him as your Savior, and trust what He did dying on Calvary's cross to take away your sins. If you don't believe that, why don't you try it? If you don't have assurance of eternal life, why don't you try that instead of what you're trying? Some of you folks I've talked to have been trying other things for years, haven't you? And you still don't know. You can know now. You say, well, I got to be a Ruckman. You've got to receive Jesus Christ, your Savior.
Listen, when you get saved, it's not just getting something for nothing. It's getting everything for nothing. See, that's what the thing is.
Whatever you do, don't go to hell. You folks here with gray hair and white hair,
Whatever you do, whatever you say, whatever it's going to be, there's one thing I'm going to ask you. Don't go to hell. You'll get in there, you'll never get out. Hell is no joke. God doesn't want you there. Christ doesn't want you there. The people in hell don't want you there. The people that love you don't want you there. The question comes up, who is it that wants you in hell?
I'll make it just simple as I can. You want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. You want to go to hell? Trust something else. That's all there is to it. It's so simple. Men make it so hard. Preachers make it so difficult. I don't know why. You want to go to heaven? Trust Jesus Christ. Can I get any more plain with you? You want to go to hell? Trust something else. Hi, Dad. Hey, Steve. Hey, Steve, like that. Way down there at the edge of that street, there's the Lord up there in glory. And down he comes off that throne. He always would come down for a sinner. And he comes down there, well done, thou good and faithful servant in the joy of our Lord.
Just getting something for nothing, it's getting everything for nothing. See, that's what the thing is.